term wearing out is it's used in a mental sense here, although he'll be doing things physically to the saints. But it's to harass constantly, okay? It's just worrying, harassing constantly. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 13, the scripture says, a foolish son is a calamity to his father, or of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. Okay, we're not wanting to focus on the wife there, or the woman, but we want to focus on that continual dropping. That's the way this wearing out will be. It says in Proverbs 27:15, a continual dropping in a very rainy day. We can imagine what that's like, that water beaten, that wearing out is going to be that way. We know that there are tortures implemented and used by Asians, and where they cause a drop of water to be dropped on the forehead of a person to drive them insane. Those things exist. And so we want to understand that about this wearing out. This man is going to do this one day, and it's going to be something that's going to be high on his list because he hates the people of God, and he's going to be pursuing them in every way that he can. The people of God are going to be harassed constantly. The thing is, as it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, turn over here, the spirit of this already exists and has been underway from the beginning. And so the spirit of this harassment is in existence and has been in existence here in 1 Thessalonians, as the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica. He says here in chapter 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, even in his day. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. I don't know what I said. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And it said over there in Daniel that man of sin is going to be given some leeway in this changing of times, changing of laws. And I think the indication is there, it's not talking about man's laws, it's talking about the Word of God and what God says about things. And if we just cut on to the chase about it, it's what God says about sin, bottom line. The plummet line of sin, the plummet line of truth that the Lord sets and ordains, that's what He'll be pressing against and working against. And if you and I are honest with the way things go on in this world, it's happening with us today. Pressing, taking that line of truth, taking the line of righteousness, and of just obscuring the lines, making it cloudy, not making it a fine line where we understand what good and evil is, but, well, maybe this is kind of okay, maybe that's not so bad, you know, that's what's going on. It's happening to us today. 1 John chapter 4 is not too far away. Turn over there. You know this passage, I trust. 1 John chapter 4, this is admonition from the Lord through the apostle. And he says here, we've read this recently, and it seems like we read it often because it's just going on and happening this way. Beloved, verse number 1 of 1 John chapter 4, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. That means there's going to be some spirits that are going to come along that are not going to be of God. And what's it go on to say? Because many false prophets are going out into the world, and they're proclaiming this, and they're proclaiming that, and they're proclaiming that which is against God and what God says. Obscuring that line, and that pressure and that onslaught is wearing out the saints. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24. We need to realize these things and understand these things. Change can come upon us and things come upon us and move upon us, and we not even realize it. My pastor used to say that, and I said, what's he talking about? I remember that. But it is true. It is true. Matthew chapter 24, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself says to us here in verse number 12, because iniquity shall abound. That continual dropping, that continual wearing out, pushing, and everything we hear, everything we see, everything we come in contact with, pushing against and pushing towards iniquity, pushing against righteousness. And that brings us to our next point. What will the wearing out be unto? Well, it'll be directly what it is. It's sin against God. That's what the wearing out is unto. Sin against God Almighty. Proverbs 17, verse 13. Whoso rewardeth evil for good evil shall not depart from his house. That's what the Scripture says. Whoso shall reward evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house. Turn over to 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3. We've got a lot of Scriptures. We want to see these things and understand these things and how this is. Lines obscure, lines of righteousness obscured by man's wisdom, the philosophy of the world. 1 Peter 3, verse number 10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no deceit. Okay? Deception. Okay? That's what that word guile means. Let him eschew evil. Isn't that what the Lord says? If it's evil, eschew it. And that word eschew is talking about turning away from it. If evil's over here, go that way. If evil's up here, go that way. If evil's this way, go that way. Eschew it. Don't debate about it. Don't wonder about it. And we're going to see a scripture that tells us about how it is that we can even do so and how it is that we are to know so, to know what is evil. Because we need to know what evil is. We need to know what good is so we can eschew it. And that's what's happening, folks, is this wearing out of the saints, this spirit of wearing out of the saints is happening in our day, and it's happening to us. And the lines are getting obscured to where the people of God that claim the name of the Lord and claim to have the Word of God and claim to be His servants in His church are saying, well, you know, I don't know if that's really bad or not.
Right.
And we need to be aware of it. And know that it's the case. Let him eschew evil and do good. That's the command of the Lord in that day, some 2,000 years ago. And I tell you with the Lord, folks, it's not out of vogue with the Lord. It is with men, and it is with the world. But it's not out of fashion, and it's not out of purpose, and it's not out of directive with the Lord. And may God help us to see that, hear that, and believe it, and understand it. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Now, you won't ever find peace by compromising and taking up sin and taking up the position of sin. You and I will never find peace. We won't find peace in our lives. We won't find peace in our family. We won't find peace in our church by letting sin pass and letting things happen and not dealing with things in our own life, in our family's life, in our church. It just won't be. It will not get better. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And 1 Peter is being written to children of God like you and I. It's not written to the world. It's written to us, the Lord's people. And the Lord's face is against evil. What was it that God Almighty... Because it says it in Job, we read it the other night, Sunday night. There it says capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. God Almighty. The three persons of the Trinity, they're represented. That's what that's talking about there when it's written in the Scripture that way. The Lord said in Job chapter 1, verse 8, the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? A perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And there's a hint, the eschewing of evil is going to take a fear of God. A reason, a purpose to eschew evil. Because this old flesh and this old man wants to go after sin and go after evil. But we need to fear the Lord and what He says and know what He says and know that it's eternal. So that we be found pleasing to our Lord. The Lord goes on to say, God Almighty says to Satan about Job, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause? Fearing God and escheweing evil. That's what we need to do. And that's what Peter, the Apostle Peter, through the touch of the Lord, the inspiration of the Lord, writing His inspired Word, tells us, eschewing. What's it mean? We've mentioned about that. To turn aside, to go away from, to depart from it, to avoid it, to hear it or see it coming and go the other way. That's what eschewing is. Isaiah chapter 5. Take a look over here. Isaiah 5. Isaiah 5, verse number 18. Here the Lord dealing with His prophet, dealing with His nation, sending a prophet unto them to tell them what God says and believes about their sin and about their way. In Isaiah 5, verse 18, the Lord says, "Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin as it were with a cart rope, taking it and with both hands pulling it to them." Woe! Woe! Unto the Lord's people that do this. They that say, let him make speed and hasten his work, talking about the Lord, that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come, that we may know it. Exclamation point. They're a mockery unto God. Drawing sin to them and then professing righteousness and desiring to say that they want to know the will of God. May God help us. Woe to us when we do that. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil and mark it down. May God help us that we not be found this way, calling evil good and good evil. And put darkness for light and light for darkness and put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes, because that's where it comes from. Every sin that I've ever committed, I justified to myself that it was going to be okay and all right. Sins of my youth, I said, well, it's natural. It's still sin against God. It's sin against God. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes, verse 21, and prudent in their own sight. We need to be so in the Lord's sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, the Scripture goes on to say, therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness and their bosom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. May God help us. May God help us, folks, to know that this isn't a game with the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 33 says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications," and that word communications is talking about companionship, company with, or association with. "Evil communications corrupt good manners." Evil communication and flirting around with sin, sinful people, wickedness. I'm not talking about our witness in the world. I'm talking about our coming up beside it and being friends with it and getting close to it and allowing ourselves to be tempted by it. It will mess up our doctrine. And why do we need to have any doctrine? Well, we need to be adapting and pulling up close to and desiring what God says. Because God's got a doctrine. The Lord has a doctrine. And when it gets down to it, it's really easy to understand when it gets down to it. There are some things that are hard to understand. But staying away from sin and what sin is, by the Word of God, it's easy to know. Romans 12, verse 9. "Let love be without dissimulation," without it being fake. A claim of us loving the Lord, a claim of me loving the Lord, and yet then just willfully going out and sinning against Him. Not seeking what He says in His Word, not praying to Him, asking Him to work in my life. The talk is cheap. "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor," the Lord says. Look over there in Romans 12, 9. Look at it for yourself. I didn't say it. The Lord said it. Romans 12, verse 9. "Let love be without dissimulation," or fakery, hypocrisy. "Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good." That word cleave, same word that talking about a husband and a wife cleaving together as one flesh. That's pretty close, isn't it? Becoming one flesh, twain becoming one flesh. That kind of cleaving. May God help us. Titus chapter 2. Brother and I have been talking about this passage, and I'm glad of it. It tells us some things. Titus chapter 2, verse number 11. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that ungodliness and worldly lust teaching us, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Not later, but now. Now. I tell you what, you got some sin that's making you feel guilty before the Lord, and when these passages get up close to you, tell you, repent of it. You don't have to tell me. Repent of it and get it right with the Lord. So you might have some fellowship with Him and not be estranged from your Savior. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us. Remember, He gave Himself to redeem us from our sin. Shall we chase back after it? Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people. Well, I don't want to stand out. Well, if you're saved, you sure better.
Amen.
I sure better.
Amen.
Zealous of wanting to obey the Lord. That's all that. That's what that good works is. Obeying the Lord. Zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee, the apostle goes on to tell him. Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We read this whole chapter. Well, not for the sake of time, but we'll peruse a couple verses here. The apostle starts off writing, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and given Himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." May God help us as we live life and we consider the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ that we just not discount it as a light thing. But when I chase after sin, when I justify myself, when I go after what I want to do, what this old man, this old flesh, this old mind, this old wicked world wants to do, that's what I do. I discount my Savior. I discount Him.
Amen.
I discount the value of His blood. I discount the value of His body given for me.
Right.
What He's redeemed me from. But fornication and all uncleanness, verse 3, or covetousness. Notice how it says that, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you. Not even one time. As becometh saints. Verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words. Sounds like what Brother John was saying, wasn't it? Try the spirits. See if they're of God. Try the spirits and make sure it's God's spirit. It's from God's word. And not what we think. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Remember what we've been saved from and what's going to happen to those that stay in those, live in those, walk in those, and want that more than salvation from the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to be destroyed. May God help us to remember that. Verse 7, be not ye therefore partakers with them. Don't have any companionship with it. Don't have any affinity with it. Yes, be a witness to them, but don't go and join them in it. May God help us to see how that is. But see, the world beats on us and drip, 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 wears us out in the mind, in the heart, in the soul. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, verse 7. For ye were sometimes darkness, but are light. Verse number 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove. This whole thing about the Comforter in the Lord's church, and how the Comforter, the Lord says there in John, how the Lord, the Comforter is going to reprove the world of sin, of righteousness and of judgment. And I've said it, and I'll say it again. How is that going to be? It's going to be, the world is going to hear it from the mouths of His people. Because the Spirit of God isn't out here. It's going to happen through you and me. And the Lord tells us to say, that's wrong. That's wrong, because God says it is wrong. Not because we think it's wrong, but because God says it's wicked. God says it's evil. You know what? If you don't turn from that, repent of that, you're going to stand before the judgment of God. That's our witness. You know what? I used to chase after that, but the Lord saved my soul. And now I don't want to anymore. Praise God. That's our witness. The judge is the Lord. And that's where they're have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. It goes on to say, it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, the wickedness that's there. The light reproves things. Verse 14, awake up. That's what we need to do. Wake up. Redeem the time, verse 16, because the days are evil. Don't be unwise, verse 17, but understand what the will of the Lord is out of His Word. Be filled with the Spirit of God and not other spirits that are against God. Speaking yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You know, we sing the choruses on Sunday morning. And I tell you what, I enjoy them. They help me. I hope they help you. Why is it somebody wouldn't want to sing, that says they're saved, bought by the Lamb, and know about all the singing that goes on in the church and from out of the Scriptures, and know about the singing that's going to happen on the other side, and not want to sing about your Savior? I don't understand it. I'm not talking about being able to carry a tune. I'm talking about rejoicing from your heart to the Lord. The Lord doesn't qualify us about how well we think, whatever that is, or sing. But that we do. Because of Him. Because of Him. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Church at Ephesus. Olmsted Baptist Church. As a member here, I must submit to the other members in this church. I'm to submit. As a member of this church, you are to submit to the other members in this church in the righteousness that God says in His book. That's the accountability that we have. Somebody that says they're a member of a church and then goes off and never comes to it, they don't want to be accountable to the church that God's put them in. They move off and they don't want to become a member of a church there unless they be accountable. But we're to be accountable. There's blessing in being accountable to the Lord in His church. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. It says in Hebrews chapter 5, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. It's by the Word of God that we can know what good is and what evil is, folks. But if we don't have the Word of God in us, we're not going to know. And that wearing out of the saints and wearing out of our minds, it's going to be manifested more in us. So we're called to do right and eschew evil. In Romans chapter 2, that we mentioned the wearing out of the saints. We've talked about what the wearing out will be into. Sin against God Almighty. And now, to do right and to eschew evil, that's what we've been called to. The Scripture says in Romans chapter 2, verse 7, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Galatians 6, it says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. It says in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 13, but ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And God's definition of well-doing, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, by well-doing, by obeying the Lord. 1 Peter 3, it says, for it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Like the Lord did. That's what it talks about, the example of Him there. In 1 Peter chapter 4, it says, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him and well-doing, obeying the Lord, knowing that I'm in His hand, knowing that you are in His hand, child of God. It goes on to say, as unto a faithful Creator, I'm going to do right and do well and obey God and eschew evil and pursue Him. When I sin, ask Him to forgive me and be faithful in that which He's called me into. And I'm going to follow Him. I'm going to live for Him. And whatever happens to me, the Lord will take care of it. That's what that's talking about. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, take a look over here. To do good and to eschew evil. To do good and eschew evil. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 22. What's it say? Abstain from all appearance of evil. That's not what I say. That's what God says. I believe it. But abstain from all appearance of evil. Right? That's what God says. That's what He's called us into. The Lord Jesus Christ in John 17, as He prayed for His disciples and prayed for us there, He says there in verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. That's what the Lord prayed for us. And that's what we should desire, to be kept from the evil, to keep ourselves from the evil. Matthew 7, take a look over here. Matthew chapter 7. Listen to what the Lord says in the Sermon on the Mount here. As He tells us what God thinks about things. He's mentioned many times in this message about what men say and about what men have said. And then He says, but I say unto you this, that, or the other. What's the Lord say here? Matthew 7, 13. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. And that gate is the Lord Jesus Christ, His righteousness, His atonement, His redemption, His sacrifice for sinners that receive Him by repentance and faith. And He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. And what's that path? When you get on that path through the Lord Jesus Christ, what's that path on behind Him? It's righteousness. It's godliness. It's goodness. And that's what He expects us to walk in, is that. As I've implied in the message, we have this thing going on, this wearing down from the outside. But our greatest danger is really from within. As a church. In Acts chapter 20, take a look at what the apostle writes there as he's on his way. We've looked at this here recently. Let's look at it again. Acts chapter 20. Our greatest danger, our greatest source of trouble can be from within. If we let sin reign in our lives. Acts chapter 20, verse 29. For I know this, the apostle says, and if his case, the case in his day, it can be the case in our day, in many different aspects, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things. Twisting the truth out of joint is what that's talking about. That's that what that word perverse. Twisted out of joint. Why? To draw away disciples after them. May God help us. May God help us that it not be the case with us. As the disciple, the Lord said, one of you is going to betray me. And may the Lord help us to be like the disciples were. Said, Lord, is it me? I could be the one that would lead the church astray and put up with sin and promote sin and wickedness. It could be me. I don't want it to be me. I need to be searching my soul before the Lord continually as a member of Olmsted Baptist Church that it not be me that would lead away the people of God. It could be me. It could be you. May God help us. May God help us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, here the church at Corinth had problems, had issues therein. In this particular case, it was fornication and a man taking his father's wife, his wickedness. And the apostle tells them in verse number 2, ye are puffed up. You're proud. But those of you that know this thing should have been mourning. You should have been crying. You should have been sorrowful about this thing going on in the church. This wickedness going on. Even the Gentiles don't do this. But ye are puffed up with your own reasoning, your own wisdom, and have not rather mourned that this man be dealt with and might be taken away from you. It goes on to say, in verse number 13, at the end there, therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. That's what the Lord says, what the apostle said. It goes on here, as we see in verse number 9, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. That's the indication in this passage. And this companying, this word company, is talking about keeping company with. It's from two words. It has its root in two words in combination that means to closely mingle with. That's what keeping company, to closely mingle with. And he says here, he says, I told you not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous of this world, or with the extortioners of this world, or with the idolaters of this world, because then you must needs go out in the world. There's going to be contact, but don't get up close to it. Yes, be a witness. Yes, be a witness. But don't partake of the sin and be their company to the sin and condone the sin to give them any case to think that you are promoting it. In any way. May God help us. May God help us in it.